what? It's episode 6. And I'm happy to welcome you to another episode of your favorite parenting podcast, Nurturebox. My name is Bumi, your host as usual. You see, there are some people who are still of the school of thought that the role of fathers in the family, in the home, is basically to put down soup money, like Yorubas would call it, owo obe, making sure that there's always food on the table at any point in time. But fatherhood is actually much more than that. Mothers shouldn't be the only ones showing affection, connecting with the child, communicating on so many levels. On our second episode, when we had our first parent guest and father in the house, someone who has been married for over 20 years, we learned a lot regarding how fathers can be present in the lives of their children right from the start. Today, I have another father on this episode, a father of two. He's a writer, an editor, a communications professional. And we'll be talking about how parenting, fatherhood to be precise, is beyond paying the bills. So without wasting much time, let's get right into it. On today's episode of Nurturebox, I have with me Mr. Patrick IP Emekekwe. I like the way IP sounds. I think it's cool. Can I just call you Mr. IP?
Yeah, sure you can. Today and anytime.
Thank you. So tell us, Mr. IP, for how long have you been a parent?
5 years.
Okay. Today, we'll be talking about a topic I like. I feel it's a very important thing to talk about. Beyond the bills, that's what it's called. Getting right into it, as a father, is your duty limited to just paying the bills?
First, I'll say thank you for having me and hello to everyone listening. But parenting for me, and I believe it should be for every other person, is beyond paying the bills. I mean, as a father, so many things I've been involved in outside of paying the bills, so it's far more than that.
Okay, so tell us, what are the things that come with being a father, besides paying the school fees, providing for the family, and all that?
You are a role model to your child. You influence, you teach, you care, you comfort. It's basically just being there for the child through every stage of their life. Is about bonding, it's about building that rapport, that friendship. It's about being a father who is present. There have been times when I've had to go for my child's PTA meeting or the open day. If I could have stopped that, I just paid the school fees and I move on. But I understand that those moments are so important to the child. There's something it does. So when the child sees the parents of other children coming, he's also happy to see his own father present. And sometimes, instead of going to shop again, you can take them along. So those things create an experience and an opportunity for you to bond with your child. So you pick them, you find a way to make them be a part of the buying process. You know, there is something that does.
Okay, you said the role of a father, the role of a parent, includes influencing the child, being a role model, teaching, caring, bonding, and all that. We are trying to correct the notion that fathers are basically meant to pay the bills, provide for the family, meet the material needs of the family. Then every other thing, the mother can take care of it. If it comes to bonding with the child, showing affection, going to get toys for your child, taking the child along, involving the child in the purchase decisions, the belief that these things are supposed to be done by the mother, or it's the mommy thing. What do you have to say about that? Is it something that you just want to do, or you feel you're doing it to help your wife? What do you actually have to say about that?
Okay, taking it back again to the PTA meeting. It's not what I do to say that I want to help my wife. No, I see it as what I have to do. So how it works for us is, because my wife and I, we are both professionals. There have been times when my work was more flexible than my wife's, you know, running my own business or working remotely. And then my wife may not be available then, so I go for the meeting. There have also been times when my wife was available, I wasn't, she goes for the meeting. There's also been a case where both of us went for the meeting. That was on a Saturday. And why was that? There were questions you wanted to ask, there were things you wanted to find out. So there has never been a case of, oh, it's your duty. No, of course, we talk about it and we decide based on availability, based on convenience. We look at other things we have to do, but it's not me trying to help my wife, not at all. It's our duty as parents.
It is your duty as parents. So not it's something all. That both parents have to work hand in hand to see that we cater to the all-round needs of our child.
Yes, and let me also add, the principal of the school had to commend fathers. I remember one of the meetings when he said, at least we are beginning to correct that notion that this is not a men thing, you know. And you see fathers even speaking of asking questions. They said, was really impressed because meetings like that, a lot of times fathers don't show up because they assume it's the role of mothers. So really, you know, commended fathers for doing that.
Wow, that's really, really impressive. That's to show that this generation of parents, we are seeing things from a different light. We have a better understanding. We know what is right. We know that the role of both parents is actually important in the life of the child. I really like that. You said something about bonding. In what practical ways do you bond with your children? Because bonding is not something that just happens. Yes, it's just like a normal human relationship. There are things that happen that make us bond with certain people. It doesn't just happen. So in terms of the relationship between a parent and a child, I believe that there are practical things that one will set in place to actually ensure that this connection is there and it blossoms from time to time. So can you just share with us a few of those instances?
Okay, wow. So, you know, the bond between my son and I say son because the first one is 5, the second is barely a year. So I'll start with the mornings. So in my house, we pray. Because generally we will pray, you know, do the spiritual things and all that. But even beyond that, sometimes when we're done, I take my son aside. Begin to teach him what the Word of God says. I personalize it to him. We have this card where we have Bible verses with his name on it. So I take him through the process and make him say it, okay? So sometimes when I come back, my son helps me take off my socks, all right? Sometimes when I'm eating, we eat together. I don't necessarily be from the same plate. There have been a few times when I had to beg my son help out. Then we engage, and so when I come back, I call him, tells me what happened in school, and I make engagement with him conversational. There's something he did, I think something got spoiled, and I noticed I knew he was the one, and I found out that, he was somewhat afraid to say, but I had to tell him, no, if anything goes wrong, spoil anything, let daddy know. Just let daddy know, okay, that's the right thing to do. So this other time, my son mistakenly broke the tumbler and he just came. Daddy, I did something wrong. And he told me, there have been many instances, does something wrong. And he comes to tell me and I just let him know, he should have done it better this way and all that. And when I see him doing wrong, the way I correct, I let him understand if you're not happy, there's a way to say it. So these are conversations we have every time. Those things kept building up, kept to the point where my son and I, we are friends now. There's nothing he doesn't tell me. And he expresses himself freely. If I do something and he's not happy, he will tell me to know who's bad.
That's quite interesting. So the communication lines between you and your son is very open. You can talk about anything. He's not afraid to express himself. You have conversations around how your day has been. That's really admirable. Because one thing I've learned is one thing that brings about a break in communication. When a child feels I cannot express myself, what if I say the truth? I will get punished for it, or I'll be criticized, I'll be yelled at. It may start with something as little as breaking a tumbler, but over time, something bigger than that happened.
Yes, let me just chip this in. I watch movies with him, movies for children, cartoon, Bible stories. I download, we watch together, and I tell him to share his lesson, his learnings from such. And sometimes I just bring him consciously, just pat him, the lines on my body. I pat him. Sometimes before I go to work, I hug him, I rub his head, or he walks into the gate of our house. and I open it, I give him the key, he takes it back inside, tell him I love it, I tell him sweet word, I tell him how much God loves him. So it's about seizing every moment, every day, to invest in that relationship. And one thing I know is, I know my son will always tell me anything, because we built that level of relationship. And I know that, of course, even when he's older, it won't be a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, God's grace and all that. You know, of course, you know, when they grow up, things are happening around friends, the place of the opposite sex. I have this confidence that when they get to that stage, I will be someone my son can talk to. Say, hey, dad, this is what is happening. What's your thought? How should I go about it? But it starts now. It's not something you did then.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start now as a father.
Of course, of course. You're already sowing the seeds now. So by the time you get to that point, it's not like you're now trying to do by fire by force. And now it's like, okay, where is this coming from? That's very true. So you were saying that you watch cartoons with your son. So before the end of today's episode, you would have to sing one of those songs. I'm sure you have a lot of songs that you've learned from
watching. Seriously, I hum some of them unconsciously at work. Just catch myself humming some of those songs. I mean, that's how far we've gone with them.
So you'd have to teach me one of those songs before you go. So I'm wondering, these ideals you have about fatherhood, these ideals you're imbibing in this journey with your children, is it something that was imparted in you while you were growing up?
That's a very interesting question. Okay, no, they were not imparted. First was because I didn't grow up in the father-mother kind of setting. You understand what I mean? My dad wasn't there, so I didn't have that. Of course, my father not being there and all that in my formative years. But we just met barely 2-3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my first encounter with him. So anything about fatherhood, someone loving you, it wasn't there. But what are the things that have influenced my fatherhood? One, because as a Christian, I knew God had a plan for families, for the way he wants families to be, father, mother, children. And of course, God is the ultimate father of everyone. And I see how much he loves me. And I try to model my fatherhood after God, showing that same depth of love. And of course, a few readings here and there. But some of the things I even influenced my fatherhood was, there was a neighbor I had, also a young couple who had 3 children. I observed some things. They kind of gave me an image. I saw a young family that was thriving, doing well. So I learned quite a lot as well from them. And of course, our relationship with God also influenced a lot. Reading the Bible, talking to God, praying about it. Because I knew that not having that image, I mean, there was some work to do. I stepped in with hope, with faith, that in as much as I didn't have that picture, I didn't have the know-how. My son, for example, the way I hug him, I know he can always remember that and treat his own children the same way, but I didn't have that. So God has helped me to cover up. There have been mistakes here and there, but overall, the image has been from God, the Bible, the neighbor I talked about, also somebody else I stayed with after school. And of course, I pray. And my wife, she always talked about how much, you know, they love father had, and I saw this. Even my father-in-law will come to my house and he wants to do so many things. I believe this kind of consciously we're also adding up, but beneath there's this desire to make you work, to be a great father. I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it does. It really does. I must say that the story you just told is emotional as it is inspirational. So I can understand, having not grown up with a father, having not had that father figure. Do you even think you met your dad a few years ago when you were already a father yourself? I can imagine. But still, amidst all that, you were able to decide that I may not have had this opportunity. I may not have received the love, the affection, the attention that comes with having a father, but I am willing to make a difference. I am willing to give my own children a different experience. Because there's one thing for a father to be absent from the picture, but there's also the instances of fathers who are present, but it's more or less like they're not there, right?
Yes, so true.
It's something that if you didn't have a different perception, a renewing of your mind, like, no, I want to make a change starting from myself. I want my own children, my own generation to have a different experience. You could as well have told that same part, like, okay, I don't have anybody. But you were open to learning from people around you, from positive relationships you saw, from God's word, like you said, and it has really shaped the way you're raising your children. And I know that someday your children will be very proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. True.
Okay, so there's one thing I really want to ask you. There's this conversation that comes up on social media from time to time in terms of relationship, that men are the tough guys. Like, men shouldn't be emotional. There are arguments against that belief right now that people raised their sons to be rigid, unemotional and all that. And that's why there are so many heartbreakers. There are so many people that just feel, okay, I like emotionless, if I must say. So you said that your children, you know, you spend time with them, you hug them, you tell them how much you love them. And for me, I believe that these things go a long way in shaping how any human being, whether it's a guy or a lady, turns out. Because I want to believe that the generation of, okay, you know, men shouldn't cry, men shouldn't do certain things and all that. It was based on how they were raised to be strong. You shouldn't appear weak to a woman. You shouldn't do what a woman would do. So, looking at that now, I want to ask you, should boys be raised to be emotionally soft or tough?
Okay, yeah, so that's a very interesting question. It looks more like something the psychologist.
I'm feeling good because all my questions today, you've been saying, oh, they're interesting. I'm doing something right. So...
So it looks more like something like a psychologist would answer, and unfortunately, I'm not one. So the thing about it is, first things first, everyone created by God in the image of God. We are created with emotions, right? Mm-hmm. So the male human, the boy, child, the man, whatever, was not created as a robot. We get pissed off, we get angry, we get sad. So the boy child should be made to feel safe expressing his emotion. Now, I know as a man, you want to be macho, and down here in Africa, for example, someone is late, someone passes around, say, man, no, they cry. Well, so I think there should be no deliberate say, oh, I'm going to train my boys to be tough, then the girls to be soft. I think naturally speaking, women have, now making reference to the Bible and the Christian, refers to them as a weaker version. So in some aspects of life, they are generally more emotional. So those things will naturally play out. You don't stifle it, okay? You just help them manage it. And then guys too, yeah, if, for example, the way I relate to my son and all that, I'm sure maybe when he's 20, I should still be able to hug him. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't think there should be any problem with that, because it's the way he's been raised. It's something that he sees it that, oh, this hug is an expression of love, a bond, you know.
Yeah.
And all that. So, okay, I may not kiss him, I may not pet him, I don't know. But at least that hug, you know, which is something we've been doing over time. And don't forget that this, they're also humans. So for the father, we've come to a level where we'll always talk, encourage him to talk, to express how he feels. If I had the perception that, oh, he's a boy, he shouldn't be too soft, it influences the way I raise him, it influences the way he reacts in the future. And so you see guys who are going through issues and they bottle it all up. They don't want to express it, they don't want to say it. Of course, the way a man would express it would be different from the way a woman would, we are wired differently.
Sure.
That's normal. We don't even want to go into other, as I said, more of like a psychology. We don't want to go into all that. But just allow the child to express himself freely. Don't try to bottle them up or say, oh, because they are boys, because they are. If your male child wants to cry, something happens. Don't say, oh, why can't you be crying? Don't you know you? But just let them feel safe expressing themselves and guide it. Just help them control that emotion. I think I'll just leave it at that. And yeah, I think I've had that challenge in parenting my son. There was a day, what even happened? I said, ah, can you do this? What, you know, you boy, ah, can you this and that? But I just caught, it didn't sound right. The boy, he was crying. Like, I think he was crying. I said, ah, don't you know you boy, why are you crying? But I just caught myself, like, hello. I didn't cry. I felt like he cried and he faces himself down. He goes and bottles up. And then he grew. Of course, growing up, crying might not be a way to express, but you should know that it's good to express rather than bottling it up. It doesn't have to be an outburst expressing yourself, but you're able to talk, say, oh, this is how I feel, I'm not happy about this. I know that I'm bottling it up than keeping it there. I hope I answered that the way I could.
Yes, you did. I like the points you made about allowing the children express themselves. Let a child be a child. And just like you said, guide them, teach them how to manage their emotions, because that's very important. It's about, you know, being emotionally intelligent. Even as adults, in raising our kids, we need to be able to manage our emotions too, so that, you know, even when you're trying to express your displeasure about something, you don't overdo it and make the child start refraining from talking to you and being free with you. So it's very important to allow them express whatever they feel at any point in time, so long as it's not to be extreme. And it's guided. Yes. It's guided. So
exactly.
It doesn't only apply to a male child, the female child as well. So
female child as well.
Yes, yes. That's it. So I would like to ask you, the name of this podcast is Nurture Box. So I would like you to tell us, what does the word nurture mean to you? When you hear the word nurture, what comes to mind as a parent? What does nurture mean to you?
For me, nurturing is being a caregiver. It's a combination of a whole lot of things. You provide moral support, spiritual support, financial support, emotional support, psychological support. So the entirety is the whole process of raising, of helping that child become. So it's an ongoing process, it's a journey. It's something you live out, you model, you get your hands dirty. Nurturing. Nurturing is not done being touch. I'm not mindful of that word. You're involved, you're immersed in it. You sleep with it on your mind, you wake up with it on your mind. You think about it around the clock. It's your lifestyle. So I don't want to give a dictionary or nurturing.
That's not what I wanted.
It is influencing, it is teaching, it is being there. And I talked about a lot of things, those different support systems. So it is you ensuring things are right, that things are in place. You know, so for example, let's say you have a child at the crèche, maybe for whatever reason. Yeah, you don't just leave the child, you call, you find out when the child was there. So, and now I'm even going to something possibly you cannot do by yourself. You check, you find out how did the day go. A whole lot of the child goes to school, comes back. What do you learn? How is the teacher in school? Who are your friends? I know my son's friends. There are certain things he mentions every day. It's a journey. It's adventure. It's a whole lot. It's like someone has been given to you, that child, by God, and you take full responsibility for that child. So you can see that, yeah, the bills came in, but it's just a fraction of it. So it's a whole lot more. Sometimes I'm at home, there are things I have to do, work, crying, job. But I just have to take out that time to be with my son. It is giving attention. You know, we'll have this magic bag or goodie bag, and I have many things inside. So that nurture box, you can keep putting in a whole lot of things. It never gets filled up. That's it. Discipline comes in. It's not a one-day thing. It's many things put together. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. Finally, I'm aware that you're writing a children's book.
You're right.
Okay. You're right. So do you mind sharing with us what this book is about and the inspiration behind it?
Okay. So because of the father's not death and the whole growing up, I'm just this passion about having a home where children are properly raised. So I was also thinking, what can I do? What path can I play? And I remember, you know, my son, he has 2 bicycles. I don't know, one day I was just observing him and I just got this idea to do a story for children. It's going to be a series, bicycle story, but at the end of this, it teach some morals to children, but do that in a story format. Of course, have the children learn some more. So that's how it came about. And yeah, I'm still on the project. Just 1 or 2 things to finish and get out there, then the book will be out. And of course, because of what I do, and I decided to also serve that niche, that market of the children. Yeah. And there are many other things behind the scenes, but it's one step at a time.
One step at a time. Take it up from there.
Yeah.
So personally, I'm looking forward to the release of this book. I can't wait to actually lay my hands on it. So by the time it's out, we'll be able to see what it's all about and we'll take it up from there.
Yeah, sure. But let me even ask, yeah. So I've been thinking, of course, for children, just wanted to get your own thoughts as well. Ebook, hardcover, which would you get? You rather the child reads from the phone and ebook, or you pick up the hardcover?
Okay, so personally, in recent times, I'm turning more towards ebooks because it's easily accessible. I can just download, I have it on my phone, I can have it on the go and all that. But I still prefer the physical books. I still prefer hard copy because even though I can highlight on an ebook and all that, I just like the feel of having the book in my hands. I can take my pen and highlight things. That's personally. Talking about children, you know, we are in a digital age, of course. Technology and all that. Some children can operate mobile phones, tablets better than some adults in this present time. But again, looking at screen time, in as much as children should be exposed to, you know, technology, just as we are in a digital age and the children are advancing with it and all that. And, you know, parents are introducing their children to technology early. Still, screen time, personally, and I think some people will agree with me that screen time for children still needs to be minimal. I'm sure that there's an age a child gets to, and yes, of course, you can actually have access to this. You can control it. You know, you have a control on how you use digital devices and all. But at the early stage, I still maintain that screen time should be reduced for children, for their physical well-being, of course, the eyes and all that.
True.
And other things. No. Come to play. Let them know what it feels like to read a hard copy book. Let them feel what we felt. As in, I just feel that I still prefer it. And I think for children, let them start early, getting used to reading the physical book. That's my own.
Let me even chip in some. You know, recently we were having a conversation with a child therapist. She also talked about this, whereby it's not so proper where the children are on the screen all day, either watching TV or on the phone or tablet. I mean, sometimes they can even just go outside and play.
And play, yeah.
Their brain, their creativity to work, reach. And we've had to even curtail my son's TV time this week. Found that there was this addiction, you know, there was this phone that we left for them in the house, almost like a tablet where they watch. And I put, I mean, as much as yeah, those things are good, moral stories and all, but just advise us to at least cut it down, let them read. So we had to get some 1 or 2 books and of course play more outside, ride the bicycle, play. And I also want to see how you can start creating things, you know, paint, draw, just create, build things. Because it's easy to just get the child off, just putting them in front of the TV so that you can face you know, your own thing, but sometimes, and also, yeah, so this is also part of the nurturing, also part of the bond. You get them together, you read together.
Yes.
Create stuff together. That's it.
Okay. So, Mr. IP, thank you so much for today. I really had a good time having this conversation with you. I've learned a lot. It's like we shouldn't end. It's like we should just keep talking and talking and talking. but well, we can't have the whole day to ourselves. So you've heard it from Mr. IP today. Some of the few things I'd like to reiterate that you said, which actually caught my attention. A lot of things caught my attention, but towards the end of our conversation, you said, nurture is adventure. And when you said that, I was like, ooh, you dropped a line, like... That was like rhymes for me. Nurture is adventure.
Yeah.
So I like that. And you said that nurture is getting your hands dirty. And when you mentioned that, what came to my mind is what a farmer or a gardener does. Just the way they nurture plants, just the way they cultivate the land, put in the seeds, and the seeds begin sprouting. You see one leaf here, another leaf there, and you know it just keeps growing and growing. So it becomes a crop you can harvest, or a tree that can serve as shade or produce fruits. And when that came to my mind, I was like, wow, this is very, very true. Nurturing a child is just like nurturing a plant from the stage when it's still a seed to when it becomes something big, something mighty that benefits a whole lot of people. So raising a child, nurturing a child, it goes beyond just... you know, giving birth, and you said something, you said paying the bills is a fraction, which is very, very true. There's a lot of things that make an individual, the emotions, the social life, the spiritual, the intellectual, all those things come together to form every one of us. And for our children, for this generation, it is imperative that we invest in all these aspects of their lives, because this will determine who they turn out to be in the nearest future.
True. And I think I missed this. If you don't mind, I'll just chip it in. Can I?
Okay, go ahead.
As we round off, it's a hack. Now, our words are important. You need to also invest in the life and the future of that child with your words. Words are formative. As a Christian, of course, I believe so much in God created the world with his words. So you need to deliberately say the right words, apart from encouraging them, call them sweet names, say good things about them. You know, children could be, of course, not the whole lot of, and you could be tempted. You know, I know some words, I've seen parents use some kind of words on their children. No, you don't do that. You don't call your child names. You don't keep referring to the wrong thing they've done. I'm not saying you should permit it. So you need to consciously make them see themselves in that light, regardless of what has happened, what they've done or what they've not done. Even when the child is still in the room, that's the time to start speaking to that child. Your words are also important. They are deposits.
Yes.
In that child. So,
yes. The words we speak are like seeds you're actually sowing into the life of the children. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time, for the experiences and the knowledge you've shared with us today. I have learned a lot, and I'm sure that whoever is listening would also have something to actually take with them, something they can actually say, oh, this made sense. And it's so good to have had you join us. And the children's book, we look forward to it.
You definitely know when it's out.
Okay.
Thank you for having me too. It's a privilege. And I enjoyed myself too.
You're welcome. And it's a big thank you from me to you for listening to today's episode. I hope it was worth the while. If you know someone who should actually listen to today's topic, be kind enough to share the link to this podcast with them. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, you can do so from any platform you're listening from. Just click the subscribe button. It will only take a few seconds. Let us connect on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You will see the links in the description below. If you'd like to connect with our guest for today regarding the services he renders in his profession, I'll be dropping relevant links as well. Don't hesitate to send your reviews, rate us on Apple Podcasts. And if you have any questions whatsoever, you can shoot us an email or send a DM. Relevant details will be in the description box below. And this is me signing off on today's episode. And I'm pretty sure it's not too early to say season's greetings. Or is it? I don't know. See you.